Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we're going to talk about something along the lines of self-help and motivation. I try to mix this stuff up, guys, so that you've got some educational stuff, some motivational stuff, some just side interest stuff, and some real estate stuff, and retirement stuff, and et cetera, et cetera. But this one right here is really, today is the foundational point, I think. I'm going to take it back, and, you know, you always wonder when you see somebody successful, and I've read so many different books, thousands of books. One of them was The Tipping Point, which is the book about the fact that everybody believes that somebody is an instant success. And yet the truth is that almost everybody that is highly successful put in 10,000 hours of work at whatever it is they're good at before they finally got good enough at it that the tipping point sent them over the top and everybody realized how good they were. And then they benefited, right? So I was thinking back to myself, you know, where was that tipping point for me? And, you know, you'd like to think that it was at a lot of different points in your life where you hit those aha moments, the light bulb went on. And I'm sure you can think back now for yourself or after you've done listening to the radio show or the podcast. Think back. Where did my major belief systems come from? You know, what really directed me to become who I am? And I think back to myself as my starting point was when I was a 200-pound fat kid, and I got to the point, just like that TV show or the movie that most of you have probably never seen about the guy sticks his head out the window and goes, I can't take it anymore. 200 pounds, getting picked on every day, insulted. In this day and age, everybody around me would have been in jail just for the kind of stuff they did to me and towards me and at me and with me and against me and whatever. And it was a terrible life. And you go home and you talk to your parents and they didn't know what to do. I mean, what do? You're fat, you're ugly, you wear glasses, and we shave your head because we're too poor to do anything else with your hair. And by the way, it doesn't really matter because you're fat, ugly, and wear Coke bottle glasses. So it doesn't really matter. And so they had no answer. You know, my dad's answer, you know, was, you know, go up and punch the biggest one in the nose and that'll make them all go away. And I tried that and I came back all beat up. That didn't work. My mom said, turn the other cheek and love them. They're jealous of you. And, you know, that didn't work. I mean, obviously they weren't jealous of me. She said they wanted to be your friend. You're just not letting them. So you go try to hang around with them and be a part of their little group. And all they did was they let you hang out because they could beat on you as far as physically, emotionally, mentally. Anybody that's ever been at that point in their life realizes that. So the first couple books I got in life that really started to change me were really about developing my self-confidence and my personality. And one of the first books that I read that was probably the most powerful was Pulling Your Own Strings by Dr. Wayne Dyer. Now, I'm not going to go into that book today. I've gone into it before in the past. I'll probably go into it again in the future. But what that one basically told me was to stop letting people push you around. Stop letting people psychologically predetermine your belief system and your beliefs about yourself, and so on and so forth. And if you haven't read the book, and if you'd all feel like in any way, shape, or form that you're not getting a fair shake in this world, that the world somehow seems to be giving you an unfair situation to live in, read the book, Pulling Your Own Strings by Dr. Wayne Dyer. It's a very old book, but I'm guaranteeing you what's in that book is just as relevant today as it was back then. After that book, I was very confident. You know, I got my confidence back. I wouldn't let people push me around. I wouldn't let kids push me around. I wouldn't let my teachers push me around. I wouldn't let my parents push me around. I'd gotten back all of my power. I'd learned to isolate myself when necessary and to create boundaries that people couldn't cross, to get at me, to poke at me, to cut me, to kill me, to hurt me, whatever. And so now the next book I read was just as powerful, but it was a much higher intellectual argument of the same stuff, and that was How to Live Free in an Unfree World by Dr. Brown. Now, this book basically was saying that everything in life is a social contract. A social contract meaning that, okay, I have a relationship with you as a friend. Whether we have it in writing or not, we have a social contract. Here's what we agree. We're not going to do this to the other person, this to the other person, this to the other person, this to the other person. And we would be willing to help them in this situation, this situation, this situation. And that's on a minor, just friendly relationship. There's tons of those things. I'll give an example of a social contract. I will not date your girlfriend. Now, you and your girlfriend have it out, and she doesn't like you, and you don't like her, or whatever, but you break up. But there's a social contract that I can't date her now, because you're my friend, and the friend rule is you can't date the girlfriend of the friend, right? Now, I'm not saying whether or not that rule is real, not real, should be real, or whatever. I'm just saying that's an example, and you've all seen that. You've seen it in your own personal lives. You've seen it in other ones. I'll give you another one. Many times we have situations where someone works for one of our members working in their apartment complex, and they get in a tough with that person. They don't like each other anymore, and so they leave, and somebody else in our group hires that employee. Well, we have this unwritten social contract, which is you can't steal my employees, and you have to ask me before you hire one of my employees or ex-employees, blah, blah, blah. And there's no such contract. Do you understand that? There is none. It's just morally accepted that there is that social contract. Now, I'm just giving you examples. I'm not really going anywhere with the examples other than that we live under thousands of these unwritten rules. And what Live Free in an Unfree World says is that most of them are BS. Most of them are BS, like the one going on right now that you all are aware of. The social contract is you don't have the right to go out and get sick because it might kill somebody else. Now, that's just BS. There is no law out there that says that we have to give up our rights to protect somebody else. Yet, that's the social contract they've got us all standing down on. And as you see, the public recourse right now, people are getting irritated. I'm going to say that in a mild way. They're getting irritated. If you keep people locked down much longer, they're going to get mad. And when they get mad, they're going to get spiteful and then revengeful. And no, I'm not calling for a coup or whatever. I'm just telling you what's going to happen if they continue to treat people the way they're treating them. Some of these governors, some of these county judges, they're going to need to watch their back. Because whether it's political assassination or real assassination, they're creating all kinds of problems for themselves. Again, not for me, because I understand how to live free in an unfree world, and I don't let them control and manipulate my mind and make me believe that they know more than I do and that they have powers to make good decisions that I don't. So once you free yourself from everybody else controlling and manipulating you, you then have to learn to give up that desire to control and manipulate everybody else. And realize that in every relationship you have, there is an unwritten social contract. The truth is, though, you have to realize that they may be writing the contract that doesn't work in your life. Right? And so you can say no. You can set up a boundary. Hey, could you take me over here? I need to go to the desk. No. But that's not right. You're my mother, my father, my brother, my sister, my friend, my neighbor. No. I will not do that. Now, for many of you out there, no is the dirtiest word you've ever heard in your entire life. It just blows you away. You hate it because you don't like to hear it and because you don't have the power to say it. One of the most important things I used to teach people when I'd work with them personally is to say no. right? I'm going to charge you this. No, you're not going to charge me that. If you persist to try to charge me that, I'll go somewhere else. But no, you are not going to rip me off and charge me that. Period. And I'm smart enough to make that decision before we get into the arrangement. These are the kinds of things that I learned first. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about where these types of things led to my success. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Lifestyles Unlimited is the real estate investor education and mentoring group that has been taking people by the hand and teaching them how to invest in real estate for 29 years. Our students have been so successful at creating wealth and passive income that they have won local, state, and national Investor of the Year awards 12 of the last 12 years. If you're ready to add real estate to your portfolio, go to lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com to access our free live training event schedule.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Today we're talking about success, and as a child up through teenage, up through adulthood, the different points along your life that made major changes. And I'd already, in the first couple segments, talked about getting my willpower, or first of all, taking my life back from other people and not letting them control and manipulate me. Then taking control of my life and understanding that anything that I want to accomplish, I can accomplish. I don't need other people's permission to do it. I don't need their help to do it. I just need the belief that I want and should be able to do it. It's much more complicated than that, but it's, again, gaining back the power of understanding you have rights as a human being, and that other people are constantly trying to take those rights away. So the first book, Pulling Your Own Strings, tied to the second book, which was How to Live Free in an Unfree World by Dr. Brown. Both of those books just brought me to this pinnacle of understanding that, okay, I have rights. I have self-endowed rights. Next thing I got along with, or the next thing that hit me, was that I was still fat. Okay, now I was at least in control mentally. And I realized that I had to fix my own problems. Because once you read the book, How to Live Free in a Free World, you realize you're not free until you elect to be free. In other words, I had to stop saying I'm fat because my mother feeds me wrong. I'm fat because society feeds us wrong. I'm fat because I was given bad genes, etc. In other words, I'm blaming. And as long as you give the blame, you play the blame game and blame any of your problems on anybody else, what you're really saying is you don't have the power to fix those problems because they're not really your problems. They're somebody else's problems. So as soon as you take those problems back and say, I am overweight because of something I do, I have the ability and the right to change that, et cetera, et cetera. Once you get to that point, now the real problem is the lack of knowledge of how to do that, because your parents didn't know how to do it. Your PE teacher didn't know how to do it. Your doctor didn't know how to do it. Nobody that is smart in your world or intelligent or educated really knew how to change a fat kid out of being a fat kid. You look at right now, obesity is the number one problem in our country as far as I see. I cannot believe how many restaurants I go into and parents coming in that are 30 years old have kids that are anywhere from 4 to 10 years old that are already fat as can be. And I'm not fat shaming you. I was fat. I'm just telling you, I know it could be fixed, but you're now saying it's a disease? Or are you even going so far as to say it's okay, it's kind of pretty being fat? We know it's not healthy being fat, but now our society is saying, okay, no big deal. You're fat. Leave them alone. Right? So I found a book about a guy. His name was Bruce Randall. If you want to look it up, he was 400 pounds, and he decided he didn't want to be 400 pounds anymore. He decided he wanted to be in shape and be a bodybuilder. So he changed his workouts, changed his diet, and lost 200 pounds. And at 220 pounds, he became Mr. Universe, down from 440 pounds, I think it was. He went down to 220 pounds and became Mr. Universe and was incredible. And I read the book, got motivated by the book, saw that it could be done, so now I had a belief tied to it. And I didn't know how to do it, so I just did exactly what he said. I followed his routine, his workouts, his diet, everything. And lo and behold, within a year, I'd gone from 200 and some pounds down to 150 pounds. I was ripped to shreds, and I was the strongest kid in my state, per pound for pound. And so all of a sudden, I had this new belief, and the belief is willpower. The power that you have is your willpower. I just did what I was supposed to do, and it worked. The other thing I realized was, is that one of the problems in life is that until you know what to do, you can't do it. And so if you're out there and you're looking at all the people around you who are failures themselves, in whatever aspect in life you're looking to accomplish, there are failures all around you. You need to stop talking to the failures and go find the people that are successful at what you want to do. And when you find those people that are successful at what you want to do, then you can copy everything they do and become successful. I like one of the quotes from Tony Robbins out of his book, Unlimited Power. It was a cute little thing. He says, you know, if you copy somebody else, you know, if you copy somebody else, you are stealing from them. He said, but if you copy everything they do, you are modeling them. There's no relevance to right or wrong in that statement at all, by the way. It's just a cute little quibble that I've remembered that, in other words, if I'm going to go copy a guy that's successful, I'm not going to copy two things he does and not the other eight, because the other eight aren't going to get you there. You have to do all 10 of them to make it work. Now, there's a downside that after doing all 10 of them, people won't perceive you to be the same person you were, because you're not. Because you are what you do. You have what you've done. So I'm a nice, broke person. What does that mean? It means I do nice things for people that have absolutely no logic in making or keeping the money I earn. You see it all the time. I did one just the other day on the radio about a guy who is broke at 45 years of age with bad credit. Why? Because he took on his sister's burdens. And his sister couldn't take care of her own problems. When he took them on, he thought he could help her. She just took him down too. So now he's broke and has bad credit. Now all of a sudden there's a pandemic and he can't get a job. So now he's really up a creek. And what kind of motivational speakers is he listening to? Del Wamsley on the radio saying, you can be rich. But he can't be rich because he has a problem that he created. And until he's willing to tell his daughter to hit the bricks, cut her off, make her pay for her bills, or just flat get out of that debt, he's never going to be able to be successful financially. You know, just think of it. If I showed him how to make another $10,000 or $20,000, all he'd do is give it to his sister or somebody else. Because if you have that mental weakness for one person, then you have that mental weakness for everybody around you. It's good to help people help themselves. As the Bible says, give a man a fish, feed him for the day. Teach a man to fish, feed him for the rest of their life. He's doing a lot of giving away fish and absolutely no teaching. But maybe that's because he really himself doesn't understand it either. And that's why he's broke. And so, my friends, the next level of learning is find successful people and model them. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about the next level of modeling that's even more important. Or not more important, but as important and more transformational. All right? So let's take a short break. And we'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Total freedom in your life, safely and quickly. Build wealth and passive income so you never worry about working until you drop, losing your job, or retiring in poverty. 29 years ago, Del Walmsley founded Lifestyles Unlimited. Del has taught over 100,000 people, just like me and you, the principles of financial freedom through his national radio shows and personal one-on-one mentoring at Lifestyles Unlimited. I'm excited to tell you about the real estate workshop that has changed so many lives. This workshop takes you inside what we do and what we believe. We'll share with you the 5 ways we make money in real estate and much more. Just like your personal trainer, the Lifestyles Unlimited team will motivate, encourage, and teach you so you can get in the best financial shape of your life. Call 866-971-8970 or go to lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com. That's lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com to register for the workshop that will change your life. That's lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today I've been taking you through the process of learning to become self-sufficient, then learning to take control of your life. And now we're at the point where the information necessary to change your life, to really become successful. And the number one book that I've ever read about being successful, and if you in any way, shape, and form want to be successful in anything you do, you need to have read this book. If you haven't read this book, you need to go out and get it right now. I think you can even download it. I think it's been around so long that it's not even under copyright anymore, and you can download it off the internet. Whatever. You need to go get this book, and you need to read this book. Now, this book is called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And I want to tell you a little story about this book, how good this book is. In this book, in the first chapter, it tells you that on every page of this book is the secret to being successful. In every paragraph of this book is the secret of being successful. Every page in every chapter is the secret to being successful. The challenge to you as the reader of this book, as this thing starts out somehow, and I'm paraphrasing, by the way, is that you're not going to be able to absorb it. There's too much here. It's too powerful. You're not at the point in your life where you're prepared to absorb this much powerful information. Now, background on how he got the information. The gentleman was a writer for a newsletter, business newsletter, self-help. I think it was a self-help newsletter. And he came across the idea of interviewing the most successful and powerful people in the world. Ford. You know, just go down Rockefeller. Just name them. Every mogul that you've ever heard of in back in the early, late 1800s, early 1900s, the people that really were the foundation of everything we have, that created electricity, created coal, created steel, you know, Andrew Carnegie. I mean, just down the list. I could, if I had the book, I could tell you, if I could just Google important people, he'd interviewed him. And on every interview, he would ask them what they thought the secrets of life were and the secrets of success. And then he'd go back and he'd write a newsletter and share the interview with people. And so this was a widely renowned newsletter. Everybody knew about it. Everybody liked it. Everybody wanted it because he was interviewing the most important people in the world. Lo and behold, many years later, something happened that he decided to put all the newsletters together and combine them into a book. And the book was called Think and Grow Rich. And he changed the book. The book got written. Actually, the first book wasn't called Think and Grow Rich. It was some other name, like The Parables of Becoming Rich or something. But then he distilled them down even tighter and wrote the book Think and Grow Rich. If you look up Napoleon Hill, you can find the first book that he ever wrote, second book, et cetera, in Think and Grow Rich. And you can see the metamorphosis of his ideas from the strict recordation of what other successful people believe to be true to the merging of those ideas and looking for parallels in those ideas, to the point of Think and Grow Rich, where he drafted a manuscript that walks you through this stuff. And I started reading this book under the understanding that, okay, I wasn't going to be able to get it all. I mean, they scare the crap out of you right up front in the book. It's like, you're not going to get it. And I'm going to get it. Dang it. So I read the book as slow as I could. I digested sentence by sentence and paragraph by paragraph. And lo and behold, gigantic, unbelievable, powerful ideas leapt off the page and into my mind. And so that I would not forget them, I took out highlighter, a green highlighter, I think a yellow highlighter to start with, and I highlighted the idea, the sentence or the paragraph that would change my life. That is it. That's everything. That is going to change everything in my life. It's unbelievable. And I went through the whole book and did that. After that, I put the book down and I started working on my life. Here were the set of ideas that's going to change my life. And man, I've just from that point, just the motivation behind knowing all this powerful stuff and knowing the powerful stuff together, those two things together just like blew me away. And I started really just massive success from that point forward. And I'm not going to go into it, but I've got a record of successes that go all the way back to being 18 years old and dropping down from being a fat kid all the way down to being the strongest kid in the state, captain of my football team, class president, king of the prom. I mean, all the way through, just everything I touched from that point on, because of what I had learned about how to be successful, I was able to go in and execute. Wasn't because I was smarter than anybody else. Definitely wasn't because I was better looking than anybody else. I was beating those good-looking kids that used to win all those awards because they were good-looking. I was beating them as an ugly kid because I knew how to execute better than they did. So I read this book all the way through and got a lot out of it. Then one day something sparked me that I needed to touch up. I needed to reinflate the tire, what to say. And that's one of the things it says about motivation. I think Zig Ziglar said it best. Motivation is like taking a shower. It works really well for a while. Then you need it again. And so I thought I'd sit down and read the book again. But this time I wanted to do something different. I said, you know what? I'm going to highlight this in a different color and see what's important to me this time. And as I read through the book, I would come to these ideas that I had highlighted before, and I was almost disgusted with myself that, how could that have been something I thought was so important? I mean, that's just common sense. That's just the way the world is. How could I have thought that was so important at the time? And then it dawned on me. Because I felt that way because I had changed and I had become those statements, those ideas. I was living those ideals and now they were commonplace to me. And that, yes, they seem so commonsensical when you actually already know them. But man, some of the other stuff. Sentences right around the ones that I had highlighted, which I skipped right over, meant nothing to me now. They were the profound statements. They were the ones that really could make the difference that I had missed completely because I wasn't ready for that tidbit yet. I had not grown intellectually, emotionally, to the point I was ready to learn such a high-level point of information. And so I read the whole book and highlighted it in green. And man, I thought, now I really know what I'm doing. And hopefully if I can go do all this green stuff, it will do the same thing the yellow stuff did, which changed me as a person. And it did. And I became even more successful, with larger and larger feats of success as I built my confidence level. This single book was changing my entire life as I read it over and over again. Now, the third time I read it, I was at a precarious point in my life, and that was I had just lost money in the stock market. I had been making a lot of money in the stock market. I thought I was pretty smart, and I was doing it pretty well. And then there was Black Monday, the crash, October 20th, 1987, whenever it was. And I lost a bunch of money. But more than losing the money, it smashed my belief system that I knew what I was doing. I had a plan. I was going to retire by age 30. Here I was at 27, and I had my first defeat. It smashed my plan. And so I went back to the book. And sure enough, there it was. In blue, the stuff that I had missed, in yellow and in green, that would have saved me from making the mistake I did in the stock market. It was there. It was right there. I wasn't ready for it yet. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
What would happen if you didn't show up for work tomorrow? For the next couple of days? For a week? A couple of months? A year? How long until you lose everything you've worked for in a fraction of the time it took to earn it? If this fear keeps you up at night, it's time to learn the strategies we teach at Lifestyles Unlimited. Start with the free workshop. Go to lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com and find your true financial peace, like so many of our members already have. That's lifestylesunlimitedpodcast.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Today we've been talking about the journey of success, from those things that you can remember back to very, very young age as you learn building block after building block after building block of success. And I'm remembering back how lucky I was that I found each building block, and more importantly, that I was willing to pick that block up and carry it and learn it and study it. So we're ending up here with one of the midline success books of my life, really the basis of all my financial success and much of my other kinds of success, is a book called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And in the last segment, if you want to go back and listen to the radio show or the podcast, you can pick up what I've said about the book. It's an incredible book. But what I'm going to share here in this to be the last segment is what happened after I got to the third reading of the book. Prior to this, the Houston Oilers had a quarterback that was very famous, very well liked and loved by everybody, and he lost his quarterback position. I guess he got too old and somebody else beat him out or something, but he was very, very well loved by the Houston area people. And my daughter's grandmother, who owned a rifle range or a gun range, was just about as Texan as you could be. Her and her husband wore cowboy boots and cowboy hats and drove Dooley pickup trucks. If you know what a Dooley is, a big giant 350 with the big double tires in the back. And I mean, they were just as country as can be. It was guns, God, you know what I mean? Country and religion and boom, boom. Great people. Just great people. But I remember this quarterback guy, and he after he got out of football, you know, there's really nothing for these guys to do. He did some commercials because he's a good-looking guy, and he was everybody's dreamboat guy for a while. But, you know, there's only so many commercials you can push and so much stuff you can do, and he wasn't good enough. And I think he had a radio gig for a while. But, you know, that's not like making money in football, right? So he went into multi-level marketing. And just so happened, you know, he was on the redneck circuit, and he knew everybody in town that was a redneck. And my mother-in-law got hooked up with this guy, and he tried to sell her Amway. But they didn't call it Amway. They tell you they have a business venture you should look at. And so my mother-in-law went, and she got hooked. He hooked her in, and then my wife at the time went and with her mother, and they hooked her in, but she didn't have any money. She needed my compliance to get into it, to buy the product, to be able to sell the stuff. And she was, my ex-wife was a bit of a problematic person in many ways, and money was not something she had any idea how to handle. And so she drugged me to one of these things finally, and I remember meeting a guy and going, you know, I know you. You're a famous guy. What are you pumping toilet paper for? Why are you selling toothpaste? And, you know, I kind of, you know, went and listened to his thing, was respectful, listened to his spiel. And then at the end, I kind of pulled the guy aside and said, man, you're a pro football player. What are you doing with this? Oh, no, this is the greatest thing since sliced bread, whatever. And I just didn't want to get into it with him. He's a famous guy, seemed to be a nice guy. And I just walked away and told my wife and my, you know, ex-mother-in-law, nah, I'm not going to do it. Well, fast forward a couple months later, I'm sitting in this restaurant over in Sharpstown, and our office where I worked was at Sharpstown, so we went to this little thing called, it was a salad bar, and I think they called it the salad bar, something like that. It was a one-off place, it wasn't a franchise, and it's one of the first ones that ever was out there. It was a really good place to eat for health. So I go in there, and here this guy sits, and who does he have with him? But at Sharpstown, right down the street, there was a giant BMW dealership, the number one BMW dealership in Houston area. And he had the manager of that dealership. And I don't know if the guy was a part owner or not. I can't remember. But he was well known. He was on TV for commercials and stuff all the time. He was always there. I mean, he was a big wig guy in town. And they were sitting at a table talking, and I'm sitting there reading Think and Grow Rich. And this guy looks over and he sees me and he recognizes me, which was, you know, got to give him some credit for that. Hey, Mr. Wamsley or Dell or whatever he called me. Because I wasn't famous at the time. I was working in a health club. And I was running, I think, six Bally's health clubs here in town. And so, but he recognized me and he said, hey, how you doing? Great. And he said, why don't you come over? I went over and I sat down with those guys and was chatting. And he says, I see you're reading Think and Grow Rich. And I said, yeah, I am. I said, I'm rereading it kind of arrogantly, you know. I'm rereading it. I read it a long time ago. And he goes, ah, it's great. He goes, how many times have you read it? And I go, I think this is my third time. I'm on my third different color of highlighting. And he looked at me and he goes, oh, great. You'll get there someday. And I said, what? What do you mean I'll get there someday? He said, you know, each time you read that book, new stuff pops out. Stuff that's really written into the fabric of the book that until you're ready for it, you really can't even see it. I said, I know that's what they say, and I've read it three times, and man, I'm telling you, I've just about highlighted up the whole book. He goes, yeah, there's more. I said, really? I said, how do you know that? He said, I read it 11 times. And I'm still getting stuff out of it. And right then and there, I realized success is not a destination. Success is a journey. It's an ever-going proposition of growth as a human being. And the book just foretold that very fact that as you grow as an individual, you can see things other people can't see. And learn from them. So when you listen to me do these radio shows, if you ever sit there and go, how did he figure out what that guy was saying when the guy didn't even come out and say it? How did he perceive the perception of what the economy was going to do before the economists could even tell us the truth? They were lying to us about what was. How did he have these insights? And I'll tell you how I had those insights. Because for the last 40 years of my life, I've spent an hour a day studying so that my mind is sharp, on point, ever vigilantly looking for what it takes to be successful. But remember, it's not for money. It's for a lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught, so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Wamsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.